Welcome to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I am your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. I am thrilled to announce our 2025 virtual MTSS Summit happening this December. This two-day event is all about MTSS innovation with intention, where we will dive into bold ideas and practical strategies to ensure every student is supported and every educator is equipped to succeed. Join an international community of educators and leaders to explore how intentionality and innovation can drive meaningful change in MTSS implementation. You won't want to miss this incredible opportunity to connect and grow. We are so excited to have you here. Learn a little bit about structuring your MTSS teams for better student outcomes, collaboration, action, and accountability. We have McCurry from the Maya Angelou Schools, See Forever Foundation in DC. He's the Managing Director of Teaching and Learning, and he's a top-notch instructional leader, an AI integration expert, and with lots of experience in alternative and charter schools. So he's here to give us kind of that perspective. We also have Mandy from Hardwood Unified School District with over 20 years of experience in education. She specializes in inclusive instruction, behavioral supports, and building equitable systems to help students thrive. And Mandy, both Mandy and McCurry are just phenomenal educators. We're so excited to hear from them. And then we also have Susan Long, who is a consultant with Branching Minds, and she also has lots of years of experience with MTSS and literacy practices. And so she is, I'm so excited to have her here as well to provide this top-notch professional development plus a great discussion. And so I'm just going to toss it over to Susan.
Thanks so much, Larissa. I'm just so delighted to be here today to talk about MTSS teams and meetings, yeah, especially as we begin to gear up for this new school year. What a great time to talk about these high leverage drivers behind improving outcomes for all our students. You know, I know we sometimes overuse that term, high leverage, but it's the absolute truth here. MTSS teams and meetings truly matter. We've organized our discussion around three key elements of MTSS that are especially critical when we're talking about MTSS teams. And those elements are collaboration, action, and accountability. First, we'll take a look at overall teaming structures. And, you know, what is so important about them in that beginning process of eventually getting to that accountability piece? Along with what are the team roles and responsibilities that we should especially be prepared to help people serve? Next, we'll dive into how to conduct truly focused meetings that create real efficiencies and save time for team members. We know that time wasted in meetings can be a real drain for people. So we'll take a look at how we can protect that time to make those real efficiencies happen. And then finally, we'll consider what it takes to really track progress and follow through after an MTSS meeting happens. So let's jump into structuring your MTSS teams. So our question really is, what are teaming structures and why should we care about them? I think the term teaming structures sounds complicated, but it's actually pretty simple. It refers to groups of educators meeting regularly and using clear procedures to make decisions about students and systems. Now, simple, right? But in reality, setting up teaming structures strategically is a really important part of organizing our MTSS work. McCurry and Mandy, I'd love to hear from you what connections you're making to teaming structures.
When I, thanks, Carrie. I was thinking about our move towards having an MTSS district meeting, committee and meetings, and really, you know, how those leadership teams really can help focus in on the work that needs to be done. I think of it as like looking at the data from different altitudes. Like I know like layers and tiers are often used, but it's almost sort of from a different altitude altogether sometimes when we look at the data, and it can really help folks narrow in on focus.
Yeah, powerful. So for me, when I first thought about this, I thought about what are the essential roles that you need? And I'm going to talk particularly about your school level team, right? So of course you need a lead. You need somebody who's going to be actually putting the data in. Sometimes you'll have every member of your team putting the data in. Sometimes you'll have a designee depending on, you know, where your teams are. And of course, you know, there are two types of data I think that really stick out to me when we're talking about making data-informed decisions, and that's quantitative as well as qualitative. I know we're going to get into that a little more, but I love the data-informed decision-making. And the last piece here is including multiple stakeholders. We know when a teacher, an administrator, a social worker, a parent, they all have skin in the game. They're all moving towards the same end, and they all have some sort of say in the decision-making. Then you can get everybody rowing in the same direction. So those are some of the things that just stood out to me about this as we start to jump in.
Yeah, McCurry and Mandy, thanks so much. You lifted up such vital things, especially as we're thinking about what's represented here is really all database decision-making. So we're talking about something that really requires collaboration. And MTSS teams are at the heart of that collaborative process. So before we go any further, let's just ground ourselves a little bit in some basics about MTSS. This information will probably be very familiar to you, but by taking a few minutes here, we might shine some light on a bigger picture of what needs to be in place for creating effective teams. So an effective MTSS has six essential components, starting with using a problem-solving model that's rooted in that database decision-making that we were seeing on those bullet points. This is critical because we need a data-driven, continuous improvement model to identify and define any problems that exist in our structures, in our systems, to take the next step, which is to analyze those problems, create and implement improvement plans for the issues, and then evaluate the outcomes. The next component we need to have in place is an effective framework, assessment framework, that supports educators in really identifying which students have needs, be able to track their growth, and also inform instruction across all areas, academics, attendance, and social and emotional behaviors. Third, we need a multi-level prevention system in which all students are receiving strong universal core instruction across academics and social and emotional behavior. Learners whose needs are not wholly addressed by that core instruction also receive supplemental or intensive intervention. Once we have those first three components in place, then we're on solid ground for the fourth component. Our assessment framework has helped us identify which students have additional needs beyond Tier 1. So now we're able to create support plan cycles. These are so critical to allowing educators to analyze the data in order to develop, implement, evaluate, and then finally adjust instruction to meet all learners' needs. The last two components of the MTSS framework provide what we might call the structure or the scaffolding for this work. For MTSS to be effective, we need a solid infrastructure in place that provides the true foundation for staff communication, collaborative problem solving, and evidence-based instruction. This is where teaming structures live, because they require the kind of communication and collaboration that result in our ability to provide support for attendance, behavior, and academic needs. All this must be supported by an effective master schedule and solid community engagement. And finally, we need knowledgeable leaders and diverse leadership teams to lead the charge for MTSS implementation that results in school improvement. These leaders are also responsible for ensuring that all staff, you know, really receive the training and coaching that they need in order to be effective in using that data-driven decision-making and multi-tiered instruction.
So this is so important, and I want to name a fear, and that fear is around data. And you get more comfortable with data or alleviate the fear around data through repetition. And MTSS allows us to interact with data in a way so frequently that it becomes comfortable, and we all increase our level of data literacy. When it comes to identification, assessment of framework, there's a lot of different ways that you can assess. But it's important, I think, to bring groups of people together, not just from a data standpoint. We can target our lowest 20% or 10% attendance, but also what do the teachers know anecdotally, qualitatively, that may be going on with students that they want to recommend a student for a support or intervention that may not always show up in the data, right? Not in the raw data. I think language, when we talk about these tiers, I think norming that language, which is something we've done in our network, tier one, tier two, and tier three. Tier one is your universal instruction, as you said. This is stuff that you're doing every day with teachers showing up and giving their best effort. Tier two is something that a lot of teachers are already doing. A lot of English teachers and math teachers, they're breaking their classes up into small groups and grouping them according to data. So some of this is not necessarily new stuff. This is stuff you're already doing that we're putting a name around on and putting some supports around. When we talk about the cycle piece, and I just want to add in that, you know, you can have different cycles. I'm a proponent of a 6-week cycle because it's not quite a snapshot, but it does give you enough data to see how your students are trending. And then, of course, reevaluating at the end of each of those cycles. Some people call them sprints now. I think that's like the new language. And then, of course, I think when we talk infrastructurally, particularly coming from the district level, making sure you have a strong system like a Branching Minds. There are a lot of good systems out there that will aggregate and support you guys from a data standpoint. And last thing I'll say is just don't be afraid to coach the coach. Don't be afraid to coach the leaders. I spent a lot of time this summer sitting down with my school leaders who might have been newer to the process and just working through and iterating how we're going to roll it out for new school leaders and in new schools.
Yeah, so many good points, McCary. Thanks so much for lifting them up. One of the things that we contemplate when we're supporting districts and schools with working on their teaming structures and meetings, a great place to start the work of creating effective, you know, teaming structures is with some kind of a self-reflection, especially on that fifth key MTSS component we just discussed, our existing system-level infrastructure. It becomes apparent that four distinct levels of teams are needed for the kind of database problem-solving that's involved in MTSS. So we're going to go more deeply into each of these team structures, but let's just identify them right now. First, we need a district level MTSS team to evaluate and strengthen the district-wide infrastructure needed to implement and sustain MTSS effectively. Second, a school level team to evaluate school-wide implementation and effectiveness. Those are followed by grade or content level teams, which monitor the progress of students in need of a tier two level of support. McCary, you spoke to that just a moment ago. And finally, the individual student support team, sometimes called the SAT team, which does the problem solving for individual students who are not making adequate progress. So starting with the district level MTSS team, I know, Mandy, you have spoken about your district level team. We'd love to hear your structure here.
Sure. This is kind of it's a newer and kind of team for our district, and it predated my current position. So it was, before there was an MTSS coordinator, there was this MTSS committee. And I think We meet monthly, and it really is, I'm just going to put in a plug. Branching Minds has helped us figure out how to have these meetings and the tools to use. We've been looking at data using the platform. And so it really has helped us as a district kind of come together around our MTSS team or committee and lay the foundation for the other teams. Like I said about that altitude, right? Like this is the highest altitude that we look at it with, but you can kind of spot things that we need to zoom in.
Yeah. Thanks so much for lifting that up. So when we consider that next layer down, then the goal of the school level MTSS team is to determine to what extent the school is meeting the academic and social, emotional, or behavioral needs of at least 80% of our students, which is how under MTSS, we would define what we call a healthy school. So this team meets 3 times a year after the administration of the benchmark or universal screeners. Next level down is the greater content team. The goal of this team is to create and review ongoing intervention plans, and if necessary, refer students who are not making adequate progress with Tier 2 to the student support team. This team should meet minimally for 1 planning period per month. Then finally, the goal of the individual student support team is to problem solve and plan intensive supports for students with significant learning or behavioral needs. This team might meet weekly or biweekly, depending on the size of the school's Tier 3 population. So as we just kind of walk through those 4 teaming structures, Mandy?
Yeah, so Susan, you spoke a little bit about how, so I work in pretty rural Vermont, and so small schools, and so we're tagging very few people to do a lot of things. And so when we think about these different level teams, this is how it kind of plays out on paper, but knowing that, you know, some people are tagged more than once and across the board. So, but this is just an example of who sits on our teams when we think about the MTSS at the different levels.
Yeah, thanks so much. This really helps people to, you know, see how we can choose the right people for the job, as we say, you know, what team members should be present in each of these different, again, no silos. How do we have that kind of transparency so that the way that we're teaming and linking our teams together makes sense for everybody? Yeah, thanks so much.
One thing we're really happy about is to make sure that, like, our school counselor was not on the original district MTSS team, but we were able to recruit one and nominate one nicely. But I think it was really important, right, because we don't want it to be 2 different systems. We want it to be 1 system looking at the different levels of need. So thank you for letting me add that on.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did. So a lot of people ask, you know, how do we make sure these teams are meeting on the cadence, as we call it, or the schedule that's recommended? So it, like all of us, it all starts with a calendar. We know the old adage, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail.
And Susan, I also think when you ingrain this in your overall framework, right? Like we talk about Tier 1 instruction, we talk about Tier 2 instruction as a part of our instructional model and our frameworks moving throughout the year, then those meetings don't seem so overwhelming because people know it's immediately connected, immediately tied to what we're doing from an outcome perspective during the course of the year.
No, really a good point, which takes us to the next bucket of our time together, which is talking through those MTSS team roles and responsibilities. Mandy was referring to the school counselor and, you know, how do we help people who are, you know, part of these teams understand what their role is when they're kind of asked to be, you know, part of a team. So there are really 4 must-have meeting roles for every MTSS meeting. And each plays a really important part with its own set of responsibilities. So starting with the meeting leader or organizer, this person might be the one who's the MTSS coordinator, who's responsible for organizing everything, so to speak. The next level down is the meeting facilitator. Sometimes people say, well, aren't the organizer or leader and the facilitator the same person? And the answer is not necessarily. We've got lots of options here as far as who will be kind of running the meeting. But primarily, we want to make sure that the meeting organizer knows their role. And then two time-honored other roles for meetings would certainly be a timekeeper and a note taker. Mandy, you mentioned some signature practices too that you wanted to speak to here.
Yeah, we've just been working with the CASEL three signature practices and making sure we're putting them into all of our adult meetings and hopefully, well, and trickling down into student class time. But, you know, really starting with an intentional inclusive welcome. And that can be someone's job. And then closing with an intentional close and having that might be someone's job too. What are you walking away with is a really important thing to close a meeting so that, and it helps you know what the next steps are. Later on, we're going to talk about, you know, accountability. And if everybody leaves a meeting and no one's actually talked about what the next steps are, it makes it hard to be accountable for them. So we've made sure to add those in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
And I think, too, when you add in strong protocols and scripting for uniformity, like you said, Mandy, some of your schools may only have one team. Like one of our schools has one MTSS team. Our other school has four. So we have to make sure we're norming the protocol and norming the script so it looks the same way across the board. So we're not falling short anywhere.
So what then, as we move into the next section of our conversation, can we do to really lend that focus, as you were suggesting, Makiri, to our meetings that really leads to strong outcomes? You know, what are we looking for to happen in each of these meetings? So we saw on an earlier slide that the MTSS meetings are at the heart of the problem solving cycle. And so what we have realized in our work with districts is that when we have a uniform structure for our meetings that really mirrors the problem-solving process, we know the efficiencies that that can help us create. First of all, when we show up at meetings, we're not doing the data analysis or bringing, you know, looking at student data at that point. We will have already had that in place. So let's just take a walk around this problem-solving cycle, as we call it, as a way to organize the work that we're actually doing in our meetings. So every aspect of the meetings, then from the agenda to the norms, everything serves to help us answer the questions relating to the five components of this cycle. So if we start in the upper right of the circle, we start by identifying the need that we're bringing to the table for a particular meeting and asking the question, what are we trying to improve? In other words, we're trying to determine what learning or behavior is expected and what is actually occurring. We move in a clockwise direction then to analyze the need. And the question we want to ask here is, what patterns or possible causes do we find in the evidence that we have? So using all of the data sources at our disposal, you know, to generate possible causes of the need for the gap that we're seeing. Once we have figured out what the need is, then we can create a plan. And the obvious question here is, what are we going to do about it? So this is where we begin to develop and implement an intervention plan. And the plan should contain the learning goals, the support activities, everything that maximizes the likelihood of success, as well as a plan for monitoring student progress. The next step in the problem-solving cycle is implementing the plan. The question we want to be sure we're asking here is, how will the plan be carried out and monitored? So strategic monitoring of an intervention plan will ensure what we call an effective delivery. What is also nice is at this point, we can also make adjustments as necessary, depending on what we're seeing as far as the rate of improvement that we're looking for. Finally, the last step in the problem-solving cycle is to evaluate the outcomes of the plan. And the question we want to answer here, obviously, is, was our plan successful? So in this last piece of the problem solving cycle, the team reviews the progress monitoring data, to see, first of all, was the plan delivered with fidelity? And then to see the extent to which the impact, you know, has had, what the impact has been on closing the gap towards some expected level of performance. And the problem solving cycle, as we know, always begins again as we begin to look at different needs for different students. So when we're talking about needs and data, Makira, you had a point earlier about qualitative versus quantitative. We'd love to hear you speak about that.
Yeah, so when we talk about data, we're always talking about the quantitative data. What are the test scores? What are the attendance rates, suspension rates, things of that nature? But we know that a lot of the data that we get is actually qualitative. We all know that there's a teacher who has a relationship with a student who knows what's going on at home, who knows why that student is coming late, who knows why this student is not showing up, that this student has testing anxiety. So when we're having these meetings, it's very, very important to have a protocol for bringing in that qualitative data, not just the raw numbers. And I just want to make sure that I'm emphasizing that piece, because the qualitative data, particularly on the behavior and social emotional side, those things don't always show up in the concrete data. Some of those things show up from a trusted adult who knows the situation. And when we think about MTSS, MTSS is preventative. We're proactive with MTSS. How many of us have stopped something from happening between two students because someone gave us some information that, hey, Tyler and Susie are having an issue and I think it might boil over, right? And you can only get that data qualitatively. We'll talk more about that, but I wanted to put that in the space.
Yeah, thank you so much. So one of the things MTSS teams have found most helpful in following the MTSS problem-solving cycle during meetings is having an agenda that actually follows the cycle too. Finally, let's talk about after the meeting has happened, the two areas of follow-up and accountability. The first piece of information that we're, you know, looking at when we're following up on a plan is two items that frequently get conflated. I think that's what we've talked about in the past. Makira, you would you like to speak to this? You know, what are we talking about when we're talking about progress monitoring and monitoring progress?
So progress monitoring, we're looking at data. We're making sure that things are actually taking place. When we're talking about monitoring progress, that's more big picture. Are we actually reaching the goal that we set out to reach? Are we actually moving towards the target that we set out to reach? So some of this, when it comes to progress monitoring, that's going to help you with your accountability. That's a quick ping. Hey, haven't seen you submit your data yet. Or hey, haven't seen you upload yet. Hey, haven't seen you do your check-in yet, right? But overall, and this is something that typically a school leadership, or Mandy, I think you would agree, a district leader, monitoring, using that infrastructural tool like a branching minds to say, hey, there's several times where I ping my principals and my leaders to let them know, hey, this is flagged. Just want you to look into it. If you need me, I can come down and support you. So I think that's an interesting differentiation that you got to make, particularly if you're a district level leader like myself or Mandy.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. Sometimes, again, that those terms get are synonymous, but they really have a unique structure all to themselves. So we've almost come to the end of our time together.
Thank you so much, Susan. I think this is such a great conversation. There's just a couple of questions I want to follow up with before we wrap up today. Makira, would you go back and talk a little bit about the sample MTSS meeting and frequency of like the schedule? How do you sort of decide your frequency or even just like the dates or the cadence? What does that look like for your team?
Yeah, it can look different, and it's looked different in different places. So I can just give you guys a few examples. So there was one point where we had a lot of success because we tagged this with our grade level meeting. So a portion of our grade level meeting was dedicated to MTSS. It could be weekly or it could be bi-weekly. We know that one week is grade level, the next week is MTSS. So that's one way to do it. I do agree. You're creating muscle memory, not only on the district level when you have those bi-weekly meetings, but on the ground level when people start interacting and talking through MTSS. So that is one way. When we're in an actual progress monitoring cycle, I like to meet weekly. However, those meetings can be really, really efficient. After that first cycle, when you get that muscle memory with your staff, you can even have your staff go in and submit the data themselves, right? I had my check-in, I did my intervention, or even we've done Google Forms, we've done Microsoft Forms before where they give that information to a singular person and they put it in, which makes the meetings more efficient. And those protocols and those agendas are really good because they keep you on track, they keep you on pace, and they keep the most important thing, which is that goal, what we're trying to solve, they keep that at the forefront.
I am curious. So like, how do you feel like some of these meetings coincide with some of the professional development that has to happen? I would love for Makiri or Mandy to talk through this of like, do you utilize some of your meetings also to help facilitate some of that MTSS professional development? You know, even just how do school leaders continue just to like align everybody's, you know, everybody's goals and everybody's roles in this?
So one of the things we did really intentionally, and this is from one of the elementary schools, is if you look across the 12 o'clock hour, all teachers are available at 12 o'clock with this schedule, and each grade has a win block. Those were the two things that the schedule was built about, because at 12 o'clock every day, there was an MTSS grade level meeting. And so the people who had to be there that were not classroom teachers always had 12 o'clock on their schedule. They were always in a meeting at 12 o'clock. We had lunch together. It was great. Because kindergarten was at specials, first grade was at recess, third grade and fourth grade were at lunch, right? So this schedule was set up so that we could meet every single week as a grade level MTSS meeting. And we built in all of that stuff that you're talking about. So it wasn't just about student data, because as you know, student data doesn't change weekly. Normally. I mean, some does, I guess, but most doesn't. And so really, we were looking at building our system and really carving out the time to talk about MTSS. And that's why we did that. So that's why I included that, is building a schedule that allows for time to do it during the school day.
Love that. And Larissa, if I could just add, it is a challenge, right? Teachers feel like it's a new thing. Staff feels like it's a new thing. That's why I think economy of language is important. So for instance, at our instructional kickoff next week, I'm going to be talking about tier one instruction, talking about our curriculum, our pedagogy, and I'm going to use the term tier one. And when we talk about IXL, iReady, Read 180, Math 180, I'm going to tag that with the term tier two. So then you start ingraining that language and it becomes normed language in your district, your network, your building, and it doesn't feel like an extra thing because it's actually not. We're now naming things that we already been doing and putting structures around them. So that economy of language is one way that I've seen us be able to infuse MTSS in a little bit more seamlessly than you might if you don't.
Yeah. So say that you're just in a school in yourself and you're like, hey, I know that we need to have some MTSS structures. There's a lot of student need. And maybe you don't have that necessarily that buy-in from the district level. And so I'm going to have Makiri and Mandy speak to this in a second. But I also want to sort of iterate that, I think many principals are in charge of like designing their master schedule to make it work for their teachers. So, you know, thinking about what's inside your control over your school, it starts with that and trying to like build that. And I always think that you can't argue if you're going to see the results with your students and your teams and seeing successful, it's hard for the district to argue when they're seeing results. But Mandy and Makiri, do you have any experience with that to kind of speak to that point?
Yeah, so when I was back school-based, we actually didn't have strong support from our district. We simply didn't have it. It was a mandate that came down. We were being held accountable for it, but nobody was really giving us any tools. They're like, here's a system. No training on the system, no professional development or anything like that. So what I will say is nobody knows your team and knows your staff better than you do as a school leader. Think about who's on your team. Then I want you to think about your outcome. What are you trying to say? Is this about behavior? Is this about attendance? Is this about academic growth data? After that, you want to have the least invasive entry point. When it came to social, emotional, and behavior, I started with teachers who I knew already were checking in with students naturally, and we built that into the process and just started documenting that. That got a lot of the buy-in from my staff, and that started us with the positive momentum to be able to expand and build. So you don't have to come in hot. You don't have to come in with everything humming, everything working, but you have to start somewhere. And then after that first cycle, people become more comfortable with it. They start seeing the result. When you can show a success story of a student who, hey, this student was having these sorts of challenges, and 6 weeks in, we're seeing a 20%, 30% reduction, or we're seeing that eliminated altogether. And we know the academic data comes slower, but the behavior and social emotional data, well, that can be day to day and week to week. So I would just advise that people start there.
Yeah, that's such a really great point of just starting, you know, what is the easiest entry level for your district and your school to get buy-in, and finding those cheerleaders within your school, the people who are like all about that, and then letting that help sort of lead the way for others to come on board. And so we have some great resources for you to kind of access. All of this information and all of the templates and everything like that is in our, we have an MTSS meetings guide and toolkit, and it's a fantastic resource. Susan was one of the authors for that. And so it's a great, you can access all of those templates that we shared for you, some printable ones, as well as some other really great stuff, like when we talked about the roles and responsibilities. And I think that that's it. Thank you, Susan, Nikiri, and Mandy for being here. We appreciate your insight and your experience and all of your knowledge. Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.